This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it's VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to have Tommy Smith join the program here a little bit later on this hour, talking all things World Cup soccer. Cannot wait to catch up with the legend himself right here again on VSiN by the Books. Going to get to our best bets, of course, before this hour is done. And Jensen, we love it in the sports world. We need it. I'm going to give it to you right now. It's time for this week's edition of our Chaos Candidates. You, sir, have won the toss. You've elected to receive. Your first chaos candidate this week is whom?
Oh, man. The English have come to the country here and have brought some of their studs. Well, a budding superstar that maybe not everyone would like circle and say, yeah, that's my guy. How about Jude Bellingham? Come on down, sir. Your table is ready. I know Harry Kane gets all the accolades, but where would the three Lions be without by Jude and by what his incredible knockout stage performances have looked like? So critical in the win of the Azteca over Mexico on enemy turf. The extra time and just the amazing nature of where he's been, right man, right spot. I don't even think you could say he's the Robin to Harry Kane being Batman. They have kind of taken the lead at different junctures here. But Jude Bellingham, come on down, sir. Your table is ready. My first chaos candidate. What will Argentina do to limit what has been one of the most impactful players in this year's World Cup?
And just a couple goals behind the golden boot right there with six goals so far for Hey Jude. Pretty impressive so far. Okay, we just had a great conversation. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast with Rex Hoggard over there at Royal Birkdale. The last time they were there in England was 2017. You know who won at Royal Birkdale? Jordan Spieth. Remember this American? Back then, he was the number one player in the world. And now, he's getting disrespected in the marketplace. 80-1. 80-1 for a guy that won there the last time and won three major championships. And is Jordan Spieth, dare I say, close? Well, even if I don't believe it or you don't believe it, it only matters if one guy believes it for chaos. And that guy is Jordan Spieth himself.
There are things I can do now that I can do significantly better than I could when I was number one in the world. Therefore, there should be nothing that should stop me in my own head of being able to search and believe that I can reach that again. I'm 32. I'm not 42. At 42, you'd have to really sacrifice a lot of things to try to do that. I don't feel that I have to. I feel like I have years that, I mean, how old was Phil when he won his first major?
34.
And, you know, so, and there's plenty of, go back in time, there's plenty of examples where guys have played their best golf from there on. Now, I'm always comparing myself a bit to myself at my best, but not to try to be the exact player, just more so that I know that I can do it. I know that my ceiling is where that level was, and so I'm going to strive for it with the type of player that I am now.
I mean, just for context, Phil Mickelson did win six major championships after the age of 34. He's 32, and he's already got three under his belt. Jensen, it sounds like a guy to me that's convincing himself that he can get back to the mountaintop. He could be a chaos candidate this week at Royal Birkdale.
God, two things that jump out to me. Could he squirm anymore trying to convince the media that he's actually like in a position to win? And oh my God, you know, nothing can stop me. Oh, I hope no one's live betting the Open, Spieth, when you're out there this week. Dear God. I mean, imagine if they have like four or five Peronis before they get into the grandstand and you're kind of in your backswing putting. So soft. Speaking of chaos candidates, LeBron James just is dragging this thing out much more than he needs to. Not that he's a difference maker at this point in his career. Maybe he still believes he is. But Rich Paul and company, listen, your phone is not ringing off the hook with teams saying, hey, you know, what's it going to take to get LeBron here? I think it is inevitable that he finds his way back here to Northeast Ohio. It's not a major news story for me, but it will create some chaos, and it still is right now because it is kind of holding up the business of the offseason. The man is a first ballot Hall of Famer in the narcissism category. It is just ridiculous what he continues to do off the court, trying to make it all about him. At some point, this career will finally be done on the court. I cannot wait for that to happen, but he is creating a lot of chaos right now with other front offices trying to figure out what their roster construction is headed into the 2026 regular season.
Yeah, totally fair. He really is still kind of holding this thing up at this juncture, and we'll have to see what he decides, what really is the marketplace for LeBron James. Is it inflated by the ego? Potentially. It'll be interesting to see where the self-proclaimed king ends up. My next chaos candidate, it comes from a place of love, Jensen Lewis. David Stearns, I'm looking right at you. Now, look, we haven't always seen eye to eye, David, okay, when it comes to how to run this New York Metropolitan Club. Okay, not saying I could do a better job, but I think I could do a better job. You could reverse this course right now, young fella. You still have time to do this. Time right now is on your side, but it is running out, David. Because at the end of the year, if it looks like it currently looks here at the All-Star break, I don't know that you're going to be the GM. I know that Steve Cohen, the owner, says you're going to get the golden pass. You're going to be okay. We're going to bring you back. No changes to date. To date is the key, Jensen. That means things can change. Well, they better. Because the Mets are 17 games under 500. They have the second worst record in the National League, only ahead of the Colorado Rockies. David Stearns, this is on you. So if you want to make the postseason, by the way, 28-1 in the marketplace for the Mets to make the postseason. David, you got to go do it right now. You got to figure out whatever it is that you did in the offseason that didn't work. You better find what's going to cure you now. Whatever is ailing you, find the cure now. Or else you won't be the guy left to find the cure. They'll go get somebody else to try to figure this out. So, again, the past is prologue. And I'm not going to hold you to yesterday's standard. We're going to start anew. We're going to give you a clean start right here out of the break. But it better happen, and it better happen soon, because if it doesn't, Jensen Lewis, no more excuses, no more injuries, no more. It's on you, David Stearns. As Metropolitan fans, if we didn't care, we wouldn't be upset. Apathy is the worst thing. Met fans are not apathetic. We are angry, my friends. We are upset. And yes, we are looking at you as the guy that caused the problem. We're going to give you a pass if you can solve the problem. But if you can't, Jensen Lewis, there will be changes. There better be changes coming in Queens, because this is unacceptable.
They're going to have to entertain any and all offers, I think. Not to say that they're selling immediately. But you look at this team, 28-1 to make the postseason right now. I am intrigued to see if and Francisco Lindor's name is going to come up in some trade talks. Not that it's going to come to pass. There are going to be people that call, and the Mets would have to eat a significant amount of money the way that it's going right now. So anxious to see what names do surface and what names are seriously bannered about from opposing teams trying to acquire some impact talent before August 3rd.
Well, I find that very interesting, because you've been in those clubhouses with dynamic personalities before. And so I guess, and this is a question we had before the season ever began, about whose team is this? Is it Juan Soto's team? Is it Francisco Lindor's team? He gets the injury, the hamate injury, right before the season begins. So he's on the shelf for a while. Now he's back. Do you really think that it could come to that, Jensen, where, like, hey, if we've got two, like, it's like the movie Platoon, Best Picture, 1986, where you have these two rival sergeants, and you can't follow both of them. You can only follow one of them is kind of the premise for that Oliver Stone movie. Can we make the case that the Mets might have, you're not moving Soto, right? Juan's not going anywhere. Does that mean that Lindor, in your eyes, would be that changeable piece in order to try to turn things around?
Well, let's play the hypothetical here. Let's assume there is a cap and you're going to have to operate with some more controllable wiggle room. Right now, the Mets with 11 players already have committed $272.6 million guaranteed to next year's 2027 payroll. That's 11 of the opening day 26 you're eventually going to have to fill here. So would it behoove this organization that, I mean, Frankie Lindor is going to cost you $34.1 million to the payroll next year? That is going to be the case from 2027 all the way through 2031. He could become an unrestricted free agent at 2032. He also has $5 million of deferred money that begins in 2032 through 2041. He does have a full no-trade clause, so that's another hill that they're going to have to climb if they indeed find a trade partner. And I even think that that is a long shot at best. But you're going to have to be creative at this deadline. Dave, I'll say it again. 23 of the 30 teams, four games out of a playoff spot as we, you know, enter the second half on Friday. It will be predicated on what their first week and a half to maybe the first 2 weeks are and what that win-loss record looks like. What's the dynamic? You know, Tracy is not going to be back in the dugout. We understand that. They're going to look for maybe an Alex Cora type to take over as far as what's the money look like? What are the parameters of the new CBA? A lot of moving parts here and a lot of different challenges, not only for the Mets front office, Dave, but for many that are looking already ahead. What is that crystal ball going to show for what the operation day to day for baseball is going to look like with the new CBA next year?
I mean, we forgave Frankie a long time ago for the thumbs down fiasco years ago. And then, of course, he's great. And we get almost to the World Series. And now we're back on the should we trade Lindor train here. But David Stearns, I'm looking at you. You have got to be the guy to correct this. All right. Much more baseball talk as we get to the Midsummer Classic. Let's dig in with the Daily Diamond next and maybe look at some All-Star Game MVP numbers that you might like out there. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There is no shortage of betting opportunities this summer. You can get daily Major League Baseball. World Cup is still continuing right now. And then we're getting ready for our football season here in the United States. That's why it's now the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You're going to get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guide to help you attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and the upcoming season in its entirety. Plus, you're going to get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. Remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you will get. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You can have Tommy Smith on the next segment talking all things World Cup. We cannot wait to have that discussion with a footballing legend. But we love our baseball. We're here at the Midsummer Classic. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, this is the best of the four major sports when it comes to the All-Star Game, and it's not close. Again, I don't even know if they're doing one anymore for the NFL, which, fine, I don't think anybody misses the Pro Bowl. We like this one, and it's competitive, and we expect by the betting line that this will be competitive as well. If you can find a 7.5 out there, you might want to look to the over. But those eights that we're seeing populate here for the total, does that get you to an underplay tonight, knowing it's going to take 9 runs to beat you?
Yeah, I played the under, and DraftKings offering a boost here for the All-Star game tonight. So I got that for a plus $1.09. Right now, the under 8 at minus $1.05 juiced to the over at minus $1.15. I think the other plays that I have locked in tonight, again, another high variance event here, so just keep that in mind. Full unit play on the under 8, plus $1.09. Full unit play on the American League, plus $1.24. I think they will eventually find their way through here. I could see a 4-3 win. Also going to play a half unit on Kyle Schwarber to record a hit. Again, he's going to lead off and be the designated hitter for the National League. So my anticipation is he will get 2 at-bats tonight. I do like Dylan Cease for 2 or more strikeouts, plus $1.05. That for a quarter unit, as he will get the start for the American League. And already kind of knowing where the lineups are for both teams, this is more predicated on looking at the matchups that Dylan Cease will have. And again, second only to Jacob Mizrowski as the man with the most strikeouts here through the first half of the season. So here, Dylan Cease will be up against Kyle Schwarber, Juan Soto, Freddie Freeman. So 3 left-handed bats that he will probably use that power fastball, power breaking ball against. So excited for him. Again, 2 or more strikeouts. Don't know if he'll go 2 innings. I would say just the 1. But again, we'll kind of see how things transpire there. Those will be the props. I don't think I'll add anything from there. Dave, if you are getting into the MVP market, much in the same way we visited with Will Hill yesterday, I can see where he's going on guys, you know, that are in that reserve role coming in and being a little bit more of a spot you might want to attack there. I think the only fun play, and I know I took him for the Derby last night, I don't know if I'd get past Kyle Schwarber. He's going to get the 2 at-bats guaranteed. I would be shocked if he doesn't get a 2nd at-bat as a designated hitter. I would like him anywhere at 13-1 or longer. A very, very small play. I don't even think I'm going to get there, but that would be my recommendation in the MVP market tonight. The only long shot value I would see, and I use air quotes there, Bobby Witt Jr., probably going to play 3, maybe 4 innings. I like him at 22-1 just because you get the full complement of, you know, might have an extra base hit, might have a homer, might have a stolen base, run scored. You know, if the American League wins, which I think they will, you could see that narrative playing out. But I will probably stay away from the All-Star Game MVP market tonight.
You know, fascinating that you went exactly where I was going to ask you about with 2 different areas there with that Bobby Witt Jr. equation. One of them being defensively can make a great play that dazzles as well and gets you hit. Right. Like that type of play at 22-1 feels like it would be in play. And then you mentioned on the winning side, we talk about this all the time when it comes to voting, right? In that the biases that take place, whether it's an All-Star game or just anytime that there is an MVP market, whether it's regular season or beyond, that the team success is predicated then on the individual winning that award. Is that paramount for you? That if you're identifying the MVP, it does have to come from the winning side? Or is this one of those rare instances that because it's an exhibition, let's just say, I mean, if Harper goes out there and hits 2 bombs and yet they lose the National League 5-2, but it's 2 solo shots from Bryce and the hometown guy, like, can we make that narrative that the result doesn't matter as much here?
Oh, the result does matter. So I would obviously understand that if you're going into the MVP market, also remember that you might want to look as a correlated play. If you think the MVP comes from a National League player, then that's an obvious play on the National League money line. Again, I still think the American League for the value would be the side that I would go to. But if I'm going to recommend an MVP market, I would think that the narrative plays better with a Schwarber, with a chance to 2 cracks at it, if you will, to hit a home run, you know, have kind of that impactful moment early. And then you have so much variance with when certain guys come in. You're going to have to be watching the live market and the live changes of where you would want, you know, some of those other guys that are coming off the bench.
You know, I asked you this earlier, and the mentality of the players playing in this game, right? Yes, it's an exhibition, but because unlike the other ones, I'm still trying to get you out and you're still trying to get a hit. I just wonder from a hitter's perspective, and I know you're going to have a play on Schwarber to at least get a hit tonight. Would you look extra bases for some of these guys? I just wonder, like, unlike a regular game where you might try to do the right thing, move a runner over, hit it to the opposite side, it feels like, not to say you're going to swing from your heels to always look for extra base hits. But I wonder, because it is an exhibition, if hitters are more dialed in to say, I'm looking for something that I can swing hard and hit it far, man. I'm not trying to, you know, get one to the other side and get an eke out a base hit. Is that fair in the mentality of a lot of the hitters tonight?
Well, yeah. I mean, Schwarber plus 225 for two more total bases. Interesting there. Hits, runs, RBI for one, at least one, minus $1.25. Interesting there. You get to cover, you know, sort of if he gets walked and someone hits him in, you know, that covers you as well. I just think right. that knowing he's going to get two cracks at it, at least every indication to me would be that he gets two ABs. And then as the DH at the top spot in the order, they'll probably lift him after that second at bat, knowing what he's up with. So I like the hits. It's a little bit cleaner. Sometimes you'll see these managers pinch run. And so that would steer me away from the hits, runs, RBI market. You're getting plus money for the hit anyway. So that's where I would go.
Yeah, I'm looking way down the board here for MVP. I mean, you have to go way down the board, Jensen, before you see a pitcher even listed. To possibly, you go through all the bench players here until you get to, say, Dylan Cease, who's 160-1 as the starting pitcher here, right? Christopher Sanchez is going to be a little bit shorter at 150-1. But isn't that amazing that gone is the day where you might get two innings from a guy, right? I think I remember Pedro Martinez, I think, gave you two way yeah. back in the day in Boston, right? But, like, those days are gone. Nobody's pitching two innings. You just mark off the pitchers, even – a guy that gets you, goes out there, maybe gets you a golden inning and gets you nine pitches and nine and three Ks. Like, even short of that, is there any viable number that could even be looked at from a pitcher?
You know, I remember Shane Bieber was the last to win it 2019, punched out the side there in Cleveland. You had the whole narrative base. Remember, that was at Progressive Field. So that was a tight right. game, not a lot of offense to that point. So he won it there. You have to go back to Mariano Rivera in 2013. Who won it there for the Yankees, and then continuing further back, it's just very few and far between. 1999, that Pedro Martinez outing you talked about. I think it was five strikeouts in two innings, but again, right. that was in Fenway Park. So if you're going to have a correlated play here, then you're probably looking at Christopher Sanchez as the only viable spot where you would say, okay, if he punches out the side at 150-1, you know, hey, the National League wins and it's like a 2-1 game. He's going to get votes and that might be a viable avenue. Jesus Luzardo is the same odds, depending on, you know, where he's at. Yoan Duran is 90-1. The Philly closer, you would imagine they would leave him to the end. If it is a save situation
right.
that the Philly closer could get that one. So I'd stay on narrative street there. Just knowing, you know, the last three times, that you've had a team, you know, win or a pitcher win the All-Star Game MVP. They were in their home ballpark. Shane Bieber in 2019, Pedro Martinez in 1999. Narrative street for sure if they're going to win it at such a very, very long number.
Maybe a piece of money sprinkle there because, again, I like those historical connotations there with the home team. And, again, it's amazing that we can still remember Pedro Martinez because you just don't see guys doing that anymore, going two innings in an All-Star game. Tommy Smith talking all things on the pitch next right here. It's VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you on a Tuesday. I got to tell you, Jensen, going home and being with family and friends, some of my friends came up to me, they're like, you had Tommy Smith on the show? I said, yeah, he's amazing. And they're like, that was like the best. We loved having him. We couldn't wait to have him back. Tommy Smith, legendary soccer commentary, host of Grumpy Pundits on SiriusXM FC. Give him a follow on X at Tommy Smith ESPN. Kind enough to join us again on the Progressive Guest Line. Tommy, it really is just great to have you on talking anything. We will prefer to talk soccer here with you. Maybe we'll have you back just to talk life in general. But now that you get down to this Final Four yeah. here in the World Cup, you know, we're selfish. We wanted America to be in it. They're not. But outside of America, could FIFA have asked for a better semifinal than what we're going to get today and tomorrow?
No, David Jensen, and thank you very much for the kind words. I'll always come back and talk horse racing to you. But, FIFA lucked out this time. They have the top four in the FIFA rankings, which are the greatest bull rankings ever existed. I mean, they are just so phony, it's unbelievable. But they're lucky to have the four of them in it. And, you know, for a semi-final, this really, you know, Spain against France, that's really the real final. The other thing is only a throw in, England against Argentina. This, to me, is the final. The two best teams are here meeting today.
Tommy, I agree. And tactically, we have two teams and two sides that go about it a bit differently, right? France's attack has looked well-oiled, obviously, with what Mbappe has been able to do, co-leader there in the Golden Boot race. We have yet, and I know last time we spoke, to see the best of Lamine Yamal on the Spain side. La Roja have only conceded one goal the entire tournament. Do we expect the same here tactically? France going to send numbers forward, kind of force Spain into their defensive mindset? Or does the midfield, in your eyes, of Spain have to be kind of that X factor if they are going to be able to try and create that counterattack to get at France?
Yeah, well, you know, you're looking at it the two ways that I've been looking at it. I mean, Spain have not lost in 36 games. That is an incredible record. I mean, the Italians are one better than them. They hadn't lost in 37 games going back a few years. Now, the problem that France will have is that, you know, Spain can play either way. They can play, it's my ball, I'm going to keep it, you have to come and get it. Or they can say, okay, if you want to try to counterattack us, we have the counter-attacking ability as well in Lamine Yamal. And the point you've made is so viable. I mean, we have not seen the best of this young kid yet. We may see the best of him today. But even when you don't see the best of him, just keep in mind and watch it today, if you're watching it, folks, when the ball goes to go in his direction, there's a defender goes over and there's another defender follows him. So he's actually taken two players out of the equation of being defenders, which should open room up in the middle. And that's where the two goals that Mourinho scored coming in to win the games. He came down the middle because the space was there. So even though he's not having a stellar performance in terms of him being the man, he is still attracting, like you guys do, a lot of attention.
Tommy, we're seeing France right now, $1.50 betting favorite to advance. Spain right now, the comeback is plus $1.20. But if I'm picking up what you're putting down, do you think that Spain, obviously, certainly would not be a stunning upset if they won today. Do they have more ways to win this match against France? Or do you think, no, France is the rightful favorite and they actually are the biggest gun left in this tournament?
Well, the last two big games that Spain and France played, Spain won both games. So, you know, they know how to do it. And they have the guns to do it. I mean, they have midfielders. I mean, Dani Olmo is a good midfielder. We haven't seen the best of him yet. Maybe he needs a haircut or something. But, you know, he stands out with that blonde head on him. And their defense is good. Their goalkeeper is good. So, you know, I originally, as you know, when I spoke to you the last time, I picked France to win this whole thing. But I've changed my mind. I'm going for Spain now. I think that Spain will get the better of France today. And I'm hoping, you know, that they will. And I believe they have the capabilities to do it. But they're so boring to watch. They're so good. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the kid that brings the ball to the game, and if he doesn't get kicks at it, you're not going to get any kicks at it because he's going to take the ball and go home. That's the kind of the way Spain are. I mean, they hold on to the ball. They hold on to it. They hold on to it. And the last two games, like, they didn't win it until the last 5 minutes, either game. So, you know, if Mbappe gets a goal or Dembele gets a goal, it would make a very, very interesting game because Spain will then have to make a decision as to what way they're going to play. Right now, Spain will probably make a decision. We're going to play it this way. And if France want to come at us, this is the way we're going to play it. But if France score, then Spain have to make a decision. Uh-oh, we got to catch them and we got to pass them. So there'll be a lot of decisions to be made today.
Yeah, early goal from France, I think, ends up opening this thing up in ways that Spain probably don't want to have happen. I think they'd love to just play ball control, get this thing into the later minutes in the second half, maybe even extra time, and play their game. Speaking of playing their game, it has been the theater and the dramatics from England and Argentina finding their way into the semifinal, respectively. Argentina, Tommy, will have the comeback of the tournament against the Pharaohs of Egypt, scoring those three goals within 75 minutes there, or at least the last 15 of regulation, will be one we'll remember forever. England needing extra time to punch their ticket through. They're in. Handicapping in your eyes, Argentina, kind of that aged defending champion. England with Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham have looked like a force to be reckoned with. Are England the better side? I know they're lined that way, but you got to go through the defending champs to get there. Do they have a chance upcoming on Wednesday?
Yeah, they do. But, you know, there's a couple of things we have to keep in mind here. Argentina won it last time around. It's 4 years later, and already Argentina played two games which have amounted to an extra hour of football. That's one of the things we have. The problem for England is that they can't match Argentina 11 for 11. Like, if you're going to bring on Spence and have him playing as a fullback on the English team, somebody is going to light his fire up for him. Let me tell you, I mean, it did in the first game. Then he has a problem. He's after Tuchel came out and made some kind of statements about Jude Bellingham. Jude Bellingham came back with him. It'll be interesting to see how they all react to one another today, because, you know, the English, they don't get along with the Irish, but they certainly don't get along with themselves in either. So it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Now, the question is, can Messi be dialed up to get himself a goal? He went off form in the last game, didn't get a goal. This would be the worst time in his career to go off form, and he needs to be able to score, because you watch the Argentine team play and they look for Messi. They look for Messi because they know if Messi doesn't score for them, he's going to set up opportunities for them. So Messi is their little god. And if he's not going well, it could be a very bad day. But I do fancy Argentina to beat England.
Absolutely fascinating. Lionel Messi, by the way, to win the Golden Boot is plus $1.40. Kylian Mbappe is the favorite right now, minus $1.20. Tommy, let me ask you this. When it comes to that awards market, we're going to play, obviously, for the third place here. Whoever loses in the semifinals, they'll match up. Would it almost be advantageous if, say, Argentina lost to England to back Messi in a game that wouldn't matter as much and maybe you get more offense, versus if whoever the top two teams move forward, you would think it might be a little bit tighter and maybe more defensive-minded to win that individual award? Is there any logic to that madness?
Well, there is logic to it, but what you have to be careful about is so many people, so many teams dread that third place game because it means nothing. Who was third place in the last World Cup? Does any of you know? I don't know. I don't know who won the game. So they dread it. But if you get two teams that don't like one another and they want to play the way you just said it, there will be a lot of goals in it. That's the one advantage of the third place game. If it's generally a wide open game, there's very little marking, unless, as I said, the teams don't like one another. But generally, there's goals in it. And if Messi was playing it, yeah, he could get two or three goals, and it could win the Golden Boot for him.
It's going to be interesting. Okay, last 40 seconds with you. Who is lifting the trophy on Sunday as the 2026 World Cup champion?
Well, I say it without a whole lot of confidence. I think it's going to go to Spain. I really feel that, you know, that they haven't played the way that people think they can play. They haven't played the way I think they can play. And I think they're going to put it together from here on in. And, you know, that old saying in America, defense wins trophies. And certainly, I think it's going to be defense is going to win the World Cup.
Oh, I absolutely love that, Tommy. Maybe Bill Belichick can go help coach Spain here, get this done here, defense winning championships. Tommy, it's great having you on, man. We really appreciate it. And look forward to a great semifinal and hopefully catch up with you again down the road.
Yeah, and so many of my friends came to me and said they saw me on. There's so many of them because we're all degenerate horse players. So, you know, we are watching all the time. And I'm watching now. I just became acquainted with you guys now. And you're on my dial there. I'll be watching, let me tell you, especially when you do stuff on horse racing that, or even on baseball, you know. So have a good one. Enjoy the game. And thank you very much for your hospitality over the two visits.
Oh, man, it's been great having you. Even though you're a Yankee fan and I'm a Met fan, Tommy, we can get along. That is for sure. Give a follow on X at Tommy Smith ESPN. We're back with our best bets. They're next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Winners Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest, Jensen Lewis, for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another one will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. So both winners will receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. All you have to do is visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Pretty good contest right there. You get a free entry to change your life forever. I mean, look, maybe not everybody that's entering these things, it's life-changing money. I know for me, it would be. Now, my goal, if we won millions, would be to take that money, then enter Grandissimo, win that the next year, and then buy part of the Dallas Cowboys. What do you think of my track plan for my future?
You would certainly be a minority owner for some time. one of the richest professional franchises in sports. I mean, it would get you in the door. You don't have to pay for parking. You probably get a suite for all eight of those home games. So that'll work for you for sure.
Yeah, it might buy me a parking space with Jerry, and that's about it. By the way, big match going on today down there in Arlington at Jerry World. We'll get to that breakdown here. But again, we do want to hear from you. So if you have not reached out to us, and everybody that has, by the way, we really appreciate it. We'll do our best to get back to everybody, try to read some of these submissions on the air. So again, all we ask is that you include your first name, your city, and your state that you're calling or watching from. We're going to read those best submissions live right here on the air. So that's at buythebooks@VSiN.com. And Jensen, Brittany, been pretty cool so far, the majority of responses we've been getting.
Especially Dean from north of the border, right in Toronto, wrote to us yesterday saying, hello, gentlemen. Thank you for delivering an excellent show every day. I've been off work sick for the past year, but getting better. But I've always been a huge sports fan since I'm watching more TV than usual. I might as well enjoy it and spice things up with a little bit of light betting. Nothing too wild. Thank you for your service, Super Dave. Again, I'm from Toronto, Canada, but I truly appreciate all the veterans. I actually have a sticker on the back of my car that says U.S. Marine Corps Devil Dog. You and Jensen Hoorah. Make a fantastic team. You both seem like genuinely great people. What you see is what you get. Very honest and likable personalities. Thank you, Dean, very much for the kind words. Really cool to hear. And as you said, Dave, from everyone, not only just the great comments, and we feel in such a short amount of time, we've developed quite the following, not only coast to coast, but we're international, as we like to say. There's no kings in this country. We are just the kings of international handicapping when it comes to the National Football League. So appointment viewing when we get those underway. But it truly is a joy to hear from everyone. I've had a lot too, David, and even the parlay question we had yesterday and before, you know, everyone question. With various bankroll sizes, you know, asking, this is why we're here. We're here to help you. It doesn't matter if you're $5 better, you're $500 better. Please write in. No question is too common or too mundane. These are all things. Everyone is learning all the time, and we're here to make you profitable. So a lot of fun to interact with those people. Keep the emails coming. Buythebooks@VSiN.com.
Yeah, far too kind, Dean. The check is in the mail. Appreciate that. That was very, very kind words that you said to Jensen and I. And again, as you mentioned, Jensen, you know, we know, unlike Matty Fitzpatrick and Jordan Spieth, people are going to bet, and we're just trying to help you in that endeavor here. So we're not burying our head in the sand. We're trying to make you more profitable and certainly give you the best insight that we have to everything. We don't give it out haphazardly. We give it out with a lot of thought, and hopefully it's going to get you to that winner's circle more often than not. Speaking of, and we mentioned Jerry Jones and what's going to go down there in Jerry World today. And it was interesting hearing from Tommy Smith in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Not only does he like Spain to win this, but he mentioned that he thinks this is the de facto final with France and Spain. And I know Argentina and England are going to have something to say about that one way or the other. And there is that theory, Jensen, that whoever wins this big heavyweight clash today in Jerry World, how much will they have left in the tank? I think that's a fair question when we get there. Whoever wins today, how much do they have to expend and then to play the winner of England and Argentina? It's not going to be a foregone conclusion that the winner today does win. But Tommy does like Spain, not only today, but to win the whole thing. I think you like Le Bleu today. And if you do, do you think that France is going to go ahead and win this World Cup?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of different multi-unit plays for today. I do think the counter and the tactical advantage will eventually reside with France. And I just love their front line and their ability to create pressure early. I would anticipate that they want to play from ahead. They want to get an early goal to really force Spain into a difficult decision about having to send numbers forward. Remember, they've only conceded once in this entire World Cup. My biggest play today will be a 2.5 unit play on France to advance to the final. I found that on Novig at -$1.47. Shop around for your best pricing on that. Also, 1.5 unit play, Dave, on France's team total over 1.5. That's at DraftKings. That includes extra time. And there is a world we live in where we could see this thing level at one apiece headed into that extra time. So I wanted the ability to have those two 15-minute extra periods, if you will. That's at -$1.15 on DraftKings. So 1.5 unit play, France team total over 1.5. Now, I did get a little greedy here with some smaller plays. I went 1.25 on the over 2.5 in regulation. So 90 minutes plus stoppage time. That's at even money on Novig. And then I did take a single unit play on France to get it done in that 90 minute plus stoppage time at +$1.47. So that those are my portfolio plays on the pitch today. Very excited to see it again. Two titans of the sport. The last time they played, Dave, this was a 5-4 game. So plenty of offense from both sides. But I think the key, France would have to score early for this thing to open up. If you like the Spain side, then I think you look towards that 90-minute draw. I think they'll try and play keep away a little bit and really be decisive on the chances that they take. But I'm telling you, watch for the counter. The speed of France's attack is really been the class of this World Cup. I think we're in for a dandy, my friend. Going to be a lot of fun this afternoon.
Yeah, and again, I love those kind of correlated ways that you're looking at this, because I tend to agree that if France is going to win this thing, you would think you're going to get some goals, make that defense open up. I'm hoping Tommy Smith, I'm with him on the Spain side here. I made this play, I'm looking back now in my notes, July 6th is when I made this Jensen Lewis cross-sport parlay. And it was really grabbing a number, Jensen, back at this point. United States is still alive here. And I took Spain at 6-1 to win it outright, coupled with Rory McIlroy to get a top 10 finish, which includes ties at the Open Championship this week at Royal Birkdale. That would pay out almost 14-1. But again, you got a long way to go here before those are really viable. I'm hoping the first step of that is taken today with Spain. And I'm with you. I see it the same way. And so does Tommy. Defense is the way Spain's going to win this. As he said, make it boring. Take the ball. Don't give the ball back. The other kids are going to get mad at you for playing ball hog here. That's what Spain has to do, because I'm with you that France has got some really explosive strikers. Obviously, Kylian Mbappe first and foremost here to try to open this thing up. So I'm hoping for a low-scoring, Spain-grinded-out, boring win today down there in Jerry World. You might think that the offense might be challenged tonight in Philadelphia for the All-Star game here. Once that number hit 8 on the total, was that an advantage play to go towards the under?
Yeah, DraftKings has a boost for pretty much every bet possible on the All-Star game tonight. And so I took 8 at +$1.09 with that boost. The under 8 is what I'm going to play tonight. I just think we got so much premium pitching and not a lot of the usual suspects as far as the big boppers. No Ohtani, no Judge. I know we don't get Jacob Mizorowski or Paul Skenes on the National League side, but I still think the pitching going to be premium enough. I do like the American League, the short underdog. Found them at +$1.24 on Novig, so I like them for a full unit. Going to take a half unit play on Kyle Schwarber, the leadoff man for the National League tonight, to record a hit at +$1.15. I do think he'll get two at-bats before Dave Roberts lifts him for a pinch hitter, or maybe even a pinch runner. Quarter unit play on the American League starter, Dylan Cease, to have two or more strikeouts at plus $1.05. That is it. That's all she wrote. A lot more to look at second half after we complete the Midsummer Classic tonight. Going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then we will forecast out what will be a sprint to the trade deadline, Dave, under 3 weeks away from a really monumental date on the calendar.
Where's the time gone? We're already talking about the second half of Major League Baseball, the trade deadline, and then that means football season's right around the corner as well. Jensen, great stuff as always. Look, I don't get FOMO a whole lot here for what we do every day, but I got to admit, if you want more VEASAN, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, and you've been listening here at SiriusXM Channel 158, I am jealous of the guest list today that Dustin Sweetelson and Kelly Bidwin have on a numbers game coming up next. Mets manager Terry Collins, TC, the legend himself. Our ass is in the jackpot now, Terry. He's going to be on the program next with Dustin and Kelly, so you don't want to go anywhere talking all things Major League Baseball. Alex Crook is on the program, and Drew Dinsing as well. It's all next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.